I'm in space. Very interesting topic today. For sure, someone you don't usually hear about. And, all right, I need a sound check, though, before I get going. As always, I need a sound check before we get going here to make sure everything...
Hey, you. Yes, you.
Who is this?
You need to take our quick...
Huh? That's a commercial. There we go. All right, we're all set there. All right, how's everybody doing? Got a bunch of people waiting here. Yes, Bob Avakian, not somebody that you hear often about, huh? You hear about George Soros all the time. I've actually covered Bob Avakian and the Revolutionary Communist Party for some time. But real quick, and ashamed that there's a commercial playing there, let me kind of talk over that commercial here so that I don't get a strike. Let me turn the volume off here. So now I can skip ads. And we can listen to Bob a little bit here before we get started. And we can listen to Bob a little bit. Oh, that's me. Hold on. Here we go.
Over 2 million people are in prison in this country. The majority of them young people, especially black people and Latinos. Again, I say, what kind of country, what kind of system is this where more money is spent on prisons and jails than on education for people in the inner cities? Why? What good reason is there for so many, while they are still young teenagers, to come to the conclusion that they might not live to be 18 or 21 anyway? Or if they do...
This is from about 10 years ago. This guy's been busy for a long time.
Look at all these beautiful children, full of life and energy, full of so much promise when they are young, and see what happens to so many of them, what the system does to them as they grow a little older. Once more, I say, what kind of society is this? What kind of system is this? No, this generation and generations to come deserve a much better future, and a much better future is possible. I say no more, no more generations of our youth here and around the world, whose life is over, whose fate has been sealed, who have been condemned to an early death, or a life of misery and brutality, whom the system has destined for oppression and oblivion even before they are born. I say no more of that.
That last part there is one of the quotes that you'll find in what's, this is a very popular book amongst the Revolutionary Communist Party. This is kind of like their Bible. This is kind of like, Chairman Mao's little book, okay? Basics from the talks and writings of Bob Avakian. That last little part there is number 13 in chapter 1. So, yeah, I've been covering these guys for a while. As a matter of fact, you'll find in the description, I think, three different reports that I've given over the years. One was at the RNC convention last time, 2016. The Trump rally in Chicago that turned into a riot, and then I did a little story about how Stop Mass Incarceration has kind of networked with Revolutionary Communist Party. But in watching a lot of the live streams that I've been watching, I have maybe about a half a dozen live streams of people who lean left who are out doing live streams in the streets in all these different protests and riots and all the crazy shenanigans that are going on. And I kind of watch their live streams, and I've been noticing a lot of the Bob Avakian shirts and posters and all that kind of stuff showing up in the crowd. So there's starting to get some traction. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about Bob Avakian and the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA, because you don't hear a lot about it. And these guys are really something we need to keep an eye on here. This is the real meal deal, and they are kind of the undercurrent of what you're seeing play out. Yes, George Soros has a lot of funding, but when it comes to the street work and the philosophical fuel for this movement and this revolution that we're seeing, I would say that the Bob Avakian Communists is what I call them, the Revolutionary Communist Party, is by far the most major, most well-organized force that we need to be aware of. So... Let me get a sip of coffee here. So Bob Avakian right now, he's about 74 years old, and he was born in Washington, D.C., but he was raised in Berkeley, California. And when he attended college, university, he got involved with SDS, which was the Students for a Democratic Society, back in the 1960s, a political group, left-leaning political group. And he was also involved with the Black Panthers, which plays out in what we're going to talk about here later on. So the SDS at one point then broke up into, like, I think three different other groups. One of them was the Revolutionary Youth Movement. And Bob was nominated to be head of that group, and there was an election. And he lost the election to a guy named Mark Rudd, I think is how you pronounce it, R-U-D-D. For national secretary is what he was running for office there, of the Revolutionary Youth Movement, which was an offshoot of the SDS movement. Bob lost that to Mark. That group later on was renamed and morphed into the Weather Underground, a group that we well know, Bill Ayers and all that whole kind of thing, just to kind of give you an idea of where this is coming from. So Bob took control in 1975. The Revolutionary Communist Party was formed, and in 1975, Bob became chairman, and he's been chairman ever since. So this guy's been working for a long time, since 1979. Let me also say that I hung out with these guys for a while in Chicago. Actually, I went to their place of operation. I went to several of their talks that they had. I have some of their books here that we'll look at here in a minute. There's Revolutionary Books is where they have chapters, I guess you could say. They have a Revolutionary Books New York. I think they have one Chicago, LA, maybe Berkeley. These are kind of their centers of operation, but they're well-funded and they get around, and I've seen them at a lot of things. I was even out in Washington, D.C. years ago covering a Palestinian protest, and I seen these guys out there. So what Bob, okay, there's basics. This is the basics books, which has a lot of little fragments and segments of talks and quotes and stuff like that. I have this here, too. This is the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America, a draft proposal from the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA. And Bob claims to have a new synthesis on communism, so to speak. But what is kind of new about it, and someone was talking about, and yes, Bob has a YouTube channel. These guys are all out in the open. They have a, let me see here. Know the Basics One. That's what I was just on. Anyway, you can look it up. Do a search on Bob Avakian, and his YouTube channel will come up, and it's a bunch of talks of him. But so what his objective, and what I learned from hanging out from these people and watching all these different protests that I was going, and how they were kind of coattailing and piggybacking and kind of being Trojan horses, so to speak, and getting into all these other groups. So rather than Marxist-Leninist, he's from a more Maoist perspective. And one of the things that they do is to try to capture state power through a combination of armed insurgents through strategic alliances. And that's where you'll see them kind of the philosophical energy behind Black Lives Matter, to tell you the truth. yeah, this is a real, they're starting to gain some power. It's total communism, but it's also, the system cannot be reformed. It must be overthrown is kind of one of their little mottos. So this is a group that is calling for armed revolution against evil capitalism. You know, the spiel, right? We all know the spiel. It's, you know, there's nothing really new there. His new synthesis, like I said, it targets minority groups. This is kind of different than Marxist-Leninism, that kind of thought the revolution is going to come from the proletariat sect. It's more of a Maoist thing of the peasant class. And what Bob Avakian has kind of incorporated some critical theory here. We've talked about Adorno and Marcuse and all of these guys from the Frankfurt School, right? Talking about using the minority groups as the battering ram to bring around the revolution against the evil European capitalism. So, yeah, that's who this guy is. He's been in operation for a long time, like I said, since 1979. And I watch these guys. They work hard, man. These are people out in the streets, right? These guys work hard. They're at all these things, passing out their material. Obviously, they're growing in size and strength because I see a lot more of their T-shirts in news clips and on YouTube videos and things like that. So this is, like I said, he's been working for a long time. And for these people, this is their grand opportunity. These people have dedicated their lives to this to this communist agenda for a long, long time. Long, long time. Decades. A lot of these movers and shakers that move these crowds that we see, so a lot of these kingpins have been in this game for a long time. And these are very serious and determined people. This is no joke. So Bob Avakian needs to be on your radar, and I haven't even seen Glenn Beck or anything like that. I don't think that Glenn has done anything on this group. Like I said, I've been talking about them for at least 5 or 6 years now, and also had attended a lot of their events and got into arguments with them and debates with them right there in their shop at, like I said, Revolution Books Chicago, Revolution Books New York, Revolution Books LA, and it might be Revolutionary Books Berkeley as well, not sure on that, but that is, they run bookstores, and that's kind of where they have their little deal. But they've been working hard for a long, long time, and these are, like I said, their approach is to piggyback and on Black Lives Matter, on Black Bloc, on Occupy, on whatever the leftist movement is at the time that's going on. These guys are there to gain sway and influence, and that's kind of the Bob's approach to leading this revolution. Gay and lesbians, all the different minority groups. So he's kind of mixed a little bit of Maoist approach to it. As in coming to a lot of the lower classes and stuff like that, minority groups, as you heard in there, and through networking through all kinds of different other groups and strategic alliances to bring about this revolution that we're seeing in the street. It is starting to notch up now. We're seeing more and more shootings, more and more real serious violence, as I've been saying, as you will see as this progresses. So this is the real meal deal. And George Soros. But the people that have been out there fanning the flames in the streets and throwing gas on the fire for a long time and working real hard is the Bob Avakian Communists, the Revolutionary Communist Party of USA. And that's a little bit of information. My little 12-minute spiel here. Let's go here. What's going on, man? Good afternoon. How's everybody doing? Ramblin', how you doing? Our new little house in Ohio, contemplating me, beautiful block raised. Guess I never saw a hardened shooting position. You got raised bed gardens that are really pillboxes. Cool. When we live in a throwaway world, always full of interesting information. Thanks, you Ramblin'. I did forget that there's a distinction between Marxist Leninism and Maoism. Oh, okay. Even though that later is a variation of the former. Yeah, it's, you know, six of one, half a dozen the other. But the difference is the approach. The reason I want to make the distinction there is which class of people they are targeting institute and become part of this revolution. And unlike Marxist-Leninism with is the proletariat and the working class, this is the not even the peasant class of Maoism, so to speak, but the minority racial and even women's issues, or, you know, all this kind of stuff they piggyback and use as their what would be the word here? Their attempt to capture power that we're seeing. And it's a really serious deal, man. I can't believe this is happening so quickly and getting so violent. And what really amazes me, well, not really, actually. Let me back up a little bit here and talk about some of my experiences since I've linked to those stories. The riot in Chicago back in 2016 during the Trump's first run for presidency, was incredible and was quite frightening. And as my photographs show there, my black and white photographs can show you how bloody that little deal was. But what was amazing to me and very, I don't know, a very unique experience was watching Trump supporters like hide their hats and cover up their shirts and trying to get the hell out of there without getting attacked. I was just like, wow, this is a really toxic situation and things are really heating up. And 4 years have gone by and there's been a lot of gas thrown on that fire and it's even hotter now. Now we're seeing shootings and killings and bricks and stones and sticks and knives and all kinds of things happening. It's just incredible. But I know what it's like to be in one of these mob situations, and it's quite frightening. In that Chicago riot. Now the other thing is the news media portrayed on, and I couldn't believe it, that the news media was portraying the Trump supporters as the violent ones there. And I just had to think back to my Orwell. Because they must have been in a different event. I don't know how you could come away with such a story, having been at the event. As my photograph shows there, they went through and they destroyed every vendor, all the Trump vending equipment. They were beating up Trump supporters. They were fighting with the cops. It was just incredible. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't any Trump supporters that were violent, but I mean, to put it on a scale, I mean, even prior to the event, you know, the Chicago police are really good in handling protests. They do a really great job, and they had a fence up. So you had the Bernie Sanders supporters. I couldn't believe they went with Hillary because Bernie had all the support. But anyway, all of the Trump haters were behind this barricade, and it was the energy, the froth, the hatred, the water bottles, the projectiles. It was just incredible. What was being thrown at the people trying to enter the stadium, the amount of hatred and level of vileness was just off the chain, man. So this is real serious business, man. And I can't believe, you know, one of the things I noted at the RNC convention last time in 2016, we were walking through the street and there was an AB, I think it was from ABC. There was an ABC reporter with all the makeup and the suit and the tie and, you know, the GQ hairstyle and all that, and he's walking with his microphone, and there's a mob of Babavakian communists standing behind him. So I start interviewing the reporter. I said, "So do you know who these people are?" He gives me a dirty look. I said, "So you don't know who the Revolutionary Communist Party is, USA, Babavakian, all of these people with the T-shirts behind you?" I said, so you're a journalist here reporting the news and the stories, and you haven't told the people who the Babavakian communists are?" He was getting really, really pissed. But they don't. And they're standing right there in front of these people. And again, these people, the Revolutionary Communist Party is for, let's not mince words here. They are for armed revolution. They are for violent overthrow. That voting is the system cannot be reformed. It must be torn down. It's a deconstructionalist form of deconstructionalism. It's very dangerous, and I'm seeing a lot of T-shirts out there. So I thought, since I know a little bit about this, I wanted to let everybody know about it, since no one else is really covering this all that much. The dedication of their movement has definitely worked. Yes, it has. It has taken some time, but we are seeing it work now. That's what I'm saying. This specific group, this group is way older than BLM and Black Bloc and this version of Antifa and all that kind of stuff, man. These guys have been around for a long time, planning, thinking, working the streets, waiting for their opportunity for what we're seeing going on here, so that they can use all these different groups, whatever they are, of the left, to help fan the flames of this revolution. What they hope then, too, when the power vacuum occurs after that, they hope that Bob will be their leader. It's very cultish, too, let me tell you, after hanging around with these guys for a while. Very cult-like, at least the Chicago group was. Pretty appropriate for you to term these social justice warriors as Babavakian communists. That's what they are. to a large extent, what we are actually looking at are Bob Avakian communists out in the street. As this guy's life story and positions are an embodiment of what these idiots, right, they are espousing. You know, a lot of times, one of the things I noticed as I started to get older and read a lot, of how much we say and do things and don't realize how it's been great thinkers and philosophers that originally came up with those ideas, and that we kind of absorbed them through our cultural pores kind of mindlessly. So I was talking, example, I was talking with someone years ago and saying, oh, so you subscribe to Immanuel Kant, right? And the guy didn't even know who Immanuel Kant was, but yet there he was espousing the man's philosophy. So a lot of these people are very much reciting what's in Basics and some of the Bob Avakian stuff. But we are looking, you are looking at pretty much a Bob Avakian communist power grab funded by George Soros, I guess you could say. The meeting of the minds there. The chance of burn it down of USA, which is the violent one, should be obvious. Frankfurt School, the Bolsheviks. Yes, absolutely. Can you compare and contrast Bob with Sal Alinsky? No, not really. I mean, they're both radical leftists. They're both subscribers of various forms of collectivism and Marxism. So, you know, they're different flavors of the same ice cream, the same song and dance. You know what I mean? It's all just variants of you know, a system of collectivism. I don't really know. I know more about Bob Avakian than I do Sal Alinsky. I mean, I just know that Sal was part of the Weather Underground and involved in bombings, and later became a college professor and Obama's mentor and all that kind of stuff. So that's, you know, this is what we're talking about here is the really extreme radical left. These are not like liberals or your normal everyday. These are the radicals, you know, these are a minority group, but they're gaining political power and traction through the mob action. But no, I wish I could, tell you what the differences are between these guys, all that. I don't know. Frankfurt School, Marxist, were roughly kicked out of Germany in 1932. Yes, they were. I did a whole podcast on that. His institute page promotes and states why we need an actual revolution and how we can really make a revolution. Yes, I'm not joking. These people, this is the real meal deal, man. This Bob Avakian guy has a very loyal, I could only describe it in cult-like, glazy eye, Chairman Mao type worship of this dude, to tell you the truth, man. You know, and there's other guys, too. There's Carl Dix, who's the leader of the revolution, what's the name of that thing? Stop mass incarceration. There's a lot of players in this that we could get involved with, because there's a lot of splinter groups as well. But they all center around Bob Avakian. He's a mover and shaker, and the Revolutionary Communist Party has been out in the streets working real hard, waiting for what we are seeing here. And must scare the hell out of them to see Americans taking up arms. Well, they kind of know that's going to happen. That's what I'm saying. These people behind the scenes, not your average foot soldier running around in the street, but these movers and shakers, these are intelligent, well thought out, intellectual people. These are not foolish people. These are not emotionally driven mob action people. These are the philosophical bulwark of the movement. Another police shooting of a black guy last night in South LA. The guy punched a cop and had a gun on him, but there was rioting anyway. Yeah, none of this makes any sense, man. Just the reality of things. The average person derives their values from people they've never heard of. Yes, that's true. Most people. Unless you're a philosopher and an intellectual and you think about things. Chuck, are you familiar with the Socialist Rifle Association? They are calling for leftists to take up arms and training. No, I'm not. But leftists aren't, I mean, to think that left these types of leftists are peaceful people, no, these ain't the Berkeley flower children with roses and flowers in their hair going to San Francisco. This ain't Jerry Casilla hitting a high note. This is radical leftism, man. These are violent, angry people. And they're using, you know, here's what you have to watch out for. I'll tell you a place that we've seen it. We've seen it in Nazi Germany. Yeah, Hitler didn't create much of anything as much as he did in harnessing an energy and a sentiment that already existed within the population. And he was able to harness that, focus that, channel that in a certain direction. Not just Hitler, but this is how these movements happen. And what Bob Avakian, with this approach, they're playing off the animosity and the hatred and the racism that a lot of black people have towards white people and white culture. They're using that, and that's dangerous, man. That is a lot of bad energy to be harnessing and focusing, and that's what they're doing, and that's what we're seeing. And there's mind behind this. There's mindlessness out in the streets. Half of these people have no clue what the flip they're doing. But the movers and shakers and the intellectual bulk work know exactly what they're doing. And they're vastly outnumbered. But the problem, here's what happens. Even though they're vastly outnumbered, they're gaining control of certain key institutions that wield a lot of power. So even though this particular deal is really a minority, I would say at this point in time that Trump is really going to win this in a major landslide, because so many people on the left don't agree with this type of shit that we're seeing. Okay. The Joe Rogans there. Let's take Joe Rogan, for example, someone who's probably kind of liberal. But he's not for rioting and looting and Bob Avakian communism and all this kind of stuff, right? Who would Sam Harris, the neuropsychologist and intellectual and philosopher? He's a leftist, but of course he's not for rioting and looting and, you know, armed revolution and all this kind of stuff. This is radical stuff. But what they're doing is he's channeling the lower classes, the poor minorities, and using all of that energy, and it's being harnessed and directed out in the street, and it's also connected to a white element of disgruntled youth, I guess you could say. So a lot of these different groups are working in tandem together to cause mayhem in the streets, and could possibly gain even further political power, which would just be absolutely deadly on all levels. The revolution for utopia must be won to live. See, once who do they find out? It's a difference in Germany. The people were economically depressed. The economy, I know there's differences. I totally understand that, but you know, I was looking at a similarity. Okay. So yeah, there's differences, but I was talking about harnessing bad vibes, bad energy within a population. That was my point. Not the economic condition. But, well, there's the same. It's not that different. You're actually wrong. It's actually right. The people were economically depressed. Well, these people are economically depressed. That's what I'm kind of trying to tell you here, that the black population, most of the blacks that live in America don't do real well, and they're economically depressed, and we're not going to get into any of that of why they are, but they are. So just like the German people. Now, to compare, well, you know, I've been in a lot of these ghettos, man, and these are pretty bad places to live. These are like third world countries, man. I certainly wouldn't want to live there and raise children there or anything like that. But anyway, that's what they're targeting, is the disenfranchised. And there's a lot of disenfranchised people in this country. There's a lot of poverty in this country. And a lot of the far right people don't want to admit that. But they better not stick their head in the sand, because there's a lot of resentment that is being harnessed by groups such as the Revolutionary Communist Party, led by Mr. Bob Avakian. So be sure to head over to ChuckJines.com and sign up for the free. It's a newsletter. I don't really send a whole bunch of stuff on there. The purpose of that first newsletter is really just to keep in touch with people. If I should lose a YouTube channel or a Twitter account or something like that, it's a way to keep in touch with people more so than like try to sell you stuff and spam your inbox. Further down on ChuckJines.com, if you scroll down, there's also a blog subscription. Anytime that I publish something new on my website, you will be notified. There's also a members area there where I have some podcasts, and we'll be adding podcasts over time. Things that I really can't speak about on YouTube and places like that. You can become a member over there. I think it's $9.99 for a year to give you access to the archives. If you like independent journalism, and wish to support it, there's also a support tab there as well. I do have some magazines and some photo books and things like that for sale. I have some things that I'm going to be publishing here real shortly as well, having to do with heroin addiction and homelessness and things like that. In my opinion, many of the disenfranchised became that way due to the leftist media getting into their heads. It's really much larger than that, man. Look, we can get into that a little bit. We can get into that. That's not, it's really, man, it's really much more. Now, I'm not saying that the media is involved with harnessing bad energy. And leftism and some of the socialism lends to the breakup of the family and some of those other bad things that happen. But from an economic standpoint, let's look at something. And I'm going to refer to Jordan Peterson, the professor up in Canada and psychologist, who was talking about IQ. We don't even have to talk about race, just IQ, because IQ doesn't discriminate. This applies regardless of whatever racial group somebody belongs to. So, like Jordan Peterson was saying, you know, and I think the Army now is, or the military is phasing out IQ testing. But anyway, it was a rule that they wouldn't allow anybody with an 85 or lower IQ to be in the military. That's what a lot of the testing was, the intelligence and aptitude testing, is to weed people out, because there wasn't anything really that they could do in a modern military with an 85 IQ. So here's what we've kind of had. And in riding my motorcycle some 80,000 miles through 39 states and through my photojournalism work and going through the entire Midwest and the cities and just seeing the decay everywhere from rural town to city, what happened is that a huge part of our manufacturing base, and these are jobs. And when I say low IQ, I'm not saying bad people. I'm not talking about morals here. I'm just talking about IQ, intelligence, and aptitude. People's what their potentials are. People are not equal when it comes to potential. We are all equal and should be equal in our efforts to strive to fulfill our full potential and our happiness, but that doesn't mean that we're all equally potential. So what happened was over years, and we could go to NAFTA and the whole Bill Clinton thing, I think a lot of this started, but it probably predates that. But anyway, we went from a manufacturing base to a consumer base type economy, and a service industry, rather than manufacturing things. So we sold and moved much of our manufacturing base and the associated jobs with that manufacturing base. And these were jobs that an average guy with 85 or 90 IQ was able to go to work and was able to raise a family and go on vacation and buy things and live a halfway decent American life. Detroit was a whole city that operated on this principle. So what we're having is we're having a nexus of both our low IQ jobs disappearing, and at the same time a massive explosion of our lower IQ population. This is real talk here, and there's a variety of ways in which this massive explosion of lower IQ people has happened. So the right wingers who want to say that all you need to do is pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go get a job, like Jordan Peterson said, I'm sorry, but there's a significant there's a significant percentage of our population that there's just not a whole lot for them to do, which lends to poverty and crime and all kinds of things. So I think that's a major thing. I mean, there's many, many things. There's many, many aspects to it. But I think one of the underlying things really is a nexus of those two things, of a loss of a lot of jobs that certain people can do, and a mass explosion in a lower IQ population through various means. And I think we're seeing a lot of that happening. And there's incredible poverty. Of course, Johnson's war on poverty and bad policy have also, we could talk about that as well, having to do with the socialist agenda, right? It's not any one thing that's led to where we're at here, at this collapse that we're really starting to see manifest before us here. There's a lot of different aspects, and that's why I love YouTube and this long-form content where we can try to unpack things a little bit, because, you know, we live in the age of the slogan and of the tweet and all that kind of stuff, and we can't have proper analysis, and we can't make proper decisions on tweets. We have to be able to unpack things. We have to have all the information. All of these cases that have been coming up, Kyle Rittenhouse, Jacob Blake, George Floyd, have all been rushed to judgments, and, you know, find out later that the facts don't match the narrative that was initially put out by the mainstream media, and the mainstream media never backs off course. I watched Amy Goodman this morning give the headline news on the Kyle Rittman case as if she wasn't privy to the information that we're all privy to. It's amazing to me how someone like Amy Goodman of a Democracy Now! Is able to look at the data that we have and just, like, automatically, you talk about rose-colored glasses, and just pick out these cherry-pick things and omit and don't report or mention absolutely key important things. It's just amazing to me, this worldview of the Amy Goodmans of the world, of Democracy Now! It's a worldview. She's wearing a pair of glasses that somehow she really sees the world this way. And it's a dangerous, dangerous worldview, because it leaves out, like, you know, Kyle was actually putting out a fire is what started the whole thing. He pissed off a crowd of anti-racist protesters, as she would put it, but an angry revolutionary mob that seeks to destroy the American system, okay? Under the guise of racism and all of these other things. But at the core, this is a Maoist. This is very Maoist. The tearing down of the statues, all this kind of shit that we've been saying. This is a very, you know, here's a great little book. If you want to compare, Chairman Mao talks to the people, talks and letters, 1956 and 1971. Great little book. And you could juxtapose that with the basics from the talks and writings of Bob Avakian. That way, you know, we know our enemy. We know who we're talking about here. And it's not even Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is merely a pawn in a much bigger game. being funded philosophically and financially by people high up, and Bob Avakian is one of those people, and the Revolutionary Communist Party USA is something to keep our eyes on here. Did you see the latest CDC numbers revised down to 6? No. That's actually fake news. Let me talk a little bit about that, okay? The CDC did not revise anything, man. Let me tell you how this works. I'm kind of going off topic here, but this is the latest kind of misinformation. So when the CDC, let's take, and if you watch my video about the flu numbers, I went and did a rally, and these people were citing 79,000 people died of the flu last year. And so many people died of the swine flu. And they were wrong about their numbers. But the numbers that they were trying to come up with come from the CDC. And I believe it was 79. It was 69,000 last year. And I can't remember exactly what it was the year previously. But anyway, here's how the CDC does this type of stuff. And there's nothing unusual here at all. Okay. First of all, we have always known, or at least I've always known, I don't know if you haven't been paying attention, there's actually multiple spots on the death certificate. I talked about this at least, I don't know how many months ago. There can be multiple things that contribute to the death, and that's why on a death certificate there's multiple things. And that's why I've always said when I say on Facebook or post about how many people have died related COVID-19 deaths is how I phrase that. I use that verbiage intentionally because it's understood that most of these people who have died have other conditions, okay? I've known that since the beginning. There's nothing new here. And so about what the CDC has updated some information, about 6% of the people who have been, of the 180-some thousand people who have died related to COVID-19, about 6% of them have died solely of COVID-19. In other words, they didn't have any other pre-existing conditions. They died solely of the COVID-19. Which would be about, I think, like 10,000 people or something like that. Well, and in the same way, you know how many people actually die just of the flu? And this information's on their website, too. Even though they might say 69,000 people died, and these same right-wingers will go around and use that number when it's convenient for them, but actually only about 4,000 people. Right. And that's about right. If you look at the proportions there, 4,000 people usually die solely of the flu, influenza, each year. And we had about 69,000 deaths last season. We look at COVID, we've had double that, 69, more than double that, actually, but 180,000 and about 10,000 of those people. So it's just a semantics game and just silly micro politics that I get exhausted on. I'm sure there's some inaccuracies in the numbers. I'm sure there always are, but there's this movement on the right to just want to like dismiss that COVID isn't real. And it's just a plot to, undermine Trump and the numbers are all fake. And I can't go with that. I haven't seen any kind of hard evidence. All I see is stuff like this. Or the last time there was a fake tweet that from the right that went viral about someone how they revised the numbers down to, 10,000 or some shit like that. And it was just that the person didn't know how to read correctly and it was partial data. And so, again, man, there's nothing really afoul here as far as that goes. I appreciate your insight. Let me give you some of mine. Okay. Yeah, I know. Glenn Beck, no one's to be trusted. Glenn Beck, who's the guy on Fox that's real popular right now? Definitely not Sean Hannity, anybody. But I watch these people and I listen to what they have to say because sometimes each one of these people, even the Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Has some good reporting sometimes. They keep saying everyone should learn to code, but not everyone can do that. If every peoples on earth had the same capacity, every nation on earth would be thriving. Of course, no mainstream media is honest. No, our mainstream media, that's why this platform is so important, the new media. And if you support the new media, I think the live chat is open too if you want to kick in a few bucks. I've been part of the new media for about 20 years now. A person who can pack boxes of manufacturers goods for shipment can't design computer programs. Right, exactly. Look, man, let me tell you a little story just to personalize this thing when I talk about this IQ thing. My grandma Marino, who I loved with all my heart and soul, my grandma Marino worked for the Grass Noodle Company, which was Borden's, bought out by Borden's, whatever the case. It was originally Grass Noodle, but I think Borden's bought it out. I think she worked there almost 50 years. What a trooper, my grandma, right? Teamsters union member. My grandma was probably somebody that was 85 IQ, or she wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but really good person. Loved her to the death. Best grandmother you could ever have in the world. And there was a job for her to go. You're never going to teach my grandma Marino how to, geez, I don't even know if you could really get her to operate this phone to do a YouTube video, let alone do some kind of code or technical anything. Doesn't mean she's a bad person. It just means that, you know, we have this part of this whole Marxist agenda is this idea that everybody's the same with the, you know, but I don't mean like the same, like should have the same rights. They think that because if there's no equal outcomes, that something's wrong because everybody's the same. Everybody can be whatever they want to be. You know, I pointed this out in how this thinking in the photography world with John Free, the street photographer, John Free. Some of you guys might remember John. John would tell people at his workshops that anybody could be a great photographer if they just worked hard enough, that there was a little Cartier-Bresson in each and every person just waiting to be born, and that here's his quote, the only difference between Henri Cartier-Bresson and you was he worked harder. I mean, this is just vacant of any sort of, it's intellectually vacant. You know, people have talents and propensities and liabilities and all kinds of things that make up our individual person and our character and all these kind of things. A lot of it has to do with genetics and biology. What kind of foods we like. So, you know, this Marxism is in the ice cream. It manifests all over the place. And it's this blank slate that we can just, you know, create people. And we can't. My grandma Marino was Grandma Marino, and she wasn't a bad person. And but back in those days, there was jobs for these people. And now there's no longer the job base to support that, which is, you know, exponentially growing the welfare state, and it turns into a snowball. It's irrational to expect average equality of outcome with an entire deviation difference of IQ. I know it is. It's absolutely ridiculous. But again, Marxism, along with a lot of other isms and philosophies, don't recognize the nature of reality. They don't think there's any nature to anything. And that you just create, this is part of subjectivism and relativism. Einstein actually is at fault partially here because with some of that bullshit, but we won't get into that today. Anyway, we could really go places, couldn't we? With automation like driverless lorries, which can expect a 60-year-old lorry driver to suddenly learn IT. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Hi, Chuck. Hope you have a good day. Thank you, Chevy. Major gaslighting right now. How do you like your eggs, Chuck? I like mine 8 minutes. Well, I don't like, what was it, broccoli? Brussels sprouts. Isn't that what Jacob Blake's dad said? People are born with different capabilities. Absolutely they are. If they are free, they are not equal. If they are equal, they are not free. Absolutely. So that's, you know, that's where we're at. And I just wanted to let people know a little history of Bob Avakian. He's been around for a long, long time, been working hard. He's been the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party since 1979. And part of his strategy is what we're seeing here. It's a Maoist doctrine to capture state power through a combination of armed insurgents, through strategic alliances, through groups like Black Lives Matter or Stop Mass Incarcerations or any of these minority groups. That's who he is mobilizing and using that angst and that bad energy. He's mobilizing that to capture political power. And what we're really seeing out in the streets is Bob Avakian communists, consciously or unconsciously. And that's what you're really seeing here, just to put a face on this. You know, Bob? Do you know Bob personally? He's been around a while. Love these chats. Learn something every time. Thanks, Ramblin'. I love to share. Hopefully I can keep this channel up without getting it deleted, you know. It'd be a shame. But the new media, something that I've been a part of ever since 9/11, is really, you know, and be sure to fund and support new media, not just me, but other people that are out here working hard to do these kind of things. Yeah, man, this is really serious. The amount of fake news out there is just absolutely incredible. It's wow. And, you know, heads up, I really think that Trump this is not going to be a close election at all. I might do a live stream about my thoughts on that. But look for just incredible amounts of violence election night. This is really going to get out of hand. I had forgotten all about Bob. Yeah, he's been kind of quiet. They've been working in the streets, man. Bob's been working in the streets, man. They've been out there working hard, and I've been watching them for years, kind of saying, hey, watch these guys over here. Like I said, you'll see in the links in the description back to my website some reports I've done where I mentioned the Bob Avakian communists starting for about 4 or 5 years ago. I used to actually attend some of their events there in Chicago and some of their book readings and discussion groups and things like that. Got to know some of the members. Very cult-like organization. Very, in my mind, a dangerous organization in that, like I said, one of their mottos is the system cannot be reformed. It must be overthrown. And this is a group that seeks to capture political power through a combination of armed insurgents, through strategic allies, through peasant, like Mao, through the peasant class, not Marxist and Leninist, through the proletariat, but through the poorer people, minority groups, and stuff like that. And that's Bob's new synthesis, is to use the minority groups kind of in line with the Frankfurt School, which we've talked about as well. So, yeah, there's not a lot more to say about that. Yeah, Mao was funded by a lot of people, man. I learned a lot from these live streams. Very interesting. Thank you very much, man. Great topic today, Chuck. Glad to hear you speak up. We need more of this on YouTube. Yes, we do. We need more free speech, not less. I always enjoy seeing you talk about these kinds of things, but with how futile discussing all of this has been in getting people to wake up, do you get fatigued from the stuff? I get fatigued if I get attached to it. If I personally get attached, and one of my practices is to not get emotionally attached to this, and understand that you can't change the world, man. You got to play with the cards that you're dealt. And I used to be a much more optimist when I was younger. I guess I was kind of naive, thinking that the world was gonna possibly change for the better. I held a lot of these things, you know, possible end of war, a lot of the kind of leftist kind of stuff. I've held it at one point in time, but no, I don't really get exhausted. Especially if I don't read comments and get engaged in petty arguments, because there's no point in doing that. If I practice putting my stuff out there and letting the chips fall where it may, and just kind of walking away and not look to change anybody's mind or anything like that, I do a lot better. If I get into tuffles with people and stuff like that, it can really drag me down. So I've learned, have to learn over time to not really engage. This is what I have to say. I'm always open for debate. We don't get a lot of debate over here, you notice. We don't get a lot of people that really want to tangle with me, to tell you the truth. And what I'm trying to promote is a rational, fact-based approach to life, a philosophy for living on Earth. That's what I'm trying to share here. And reason and facts. While reason isn't perfect, it is the best tool that we have for governing and navigating through the waters of existence. And that's what built great society. And all of these things, reason itself is under attack, as it has been for a long time. But the forces, these mystical communist forces, and you have the religious right. You know, I don't. The other thing is I call it both ways. There are two forces out there. Boy, I've been thinking about doing this one, and that is the connection between communism and Christianity, and how there are some philosophical underpinnings that are unmistakably similar between these two things, and why it's important in our. In what's going on, and how a lot of that has played a part. But anyway, there's radicals on both sides, and I don't take a side. And it's not like the GOP is always right. There are radicals in danger. There are militia type people out there that I wouldn't actually want them to have political power any more than I would want Antifa to have political power. I believe in our republic. I consider myself a patriot, and I believe in our republic and the balance of powers and all these kind of things that made us a great society and a great culture. The other thing is that I realize that, you know, I don't think in a mythological term, so I understand that we are in a collapse, and that I really think we're past any point of no return, and recognize even a guy like Trump is merely a speed bump in that collapse, that these forces, I think, have eaten away. It's two things. Number one, these forces that we've been talking about have eaten away for so long that's a problem. The other major problem is that the forces that should be rallied for defense are impotent in a lot of ways. This is the other problem. We don't talk much about that. A lot of it has to do with philosophy. And again, fundamentalist evangelical Christianity is a form of collectivism, is a form of mysticism that shares an anti-science, anti-enlightenment, anti-reason, and also, well, we could do a whole different podcast on that, man. It's another equation that's important that doesn't get discussed. So the two problems we have here is that the forces that are within, not just the enemies at the gate, not Islam or the enemies at the gate, but the enemies within, as Cicero is so eloquently wrote about. These are the problems, the enemies within. Some of these enemies within are located within the GOP and are coming to rally and to muster and are saying, we are the heroes of the day and we shall fend off these radical Antifas, right? These radical leftists. Be leery of the superheroes and be leery of these people that come to save the day. They come waving flags and Trump hats and Make America Great Again shirts. Be careful of some of these people, not all of them. I'm saying there's a radical element over there, and be careful when there's political power vacuums. And be careful of the saviors that come to save the day riding in with the patriotic flags. Be careful of some of those people, because they are just as dangerous as Antifa if they should ever gain political power. And that's why we have a republic, and that's why it was set up the way that it was, so that any one of these factions can't gain political power. But that is in jeopardy, and I try to cut it both ways. We've almost gone a letter. I see. Get a tattoo of Trump. Yeah, I think Trump's going to win. Chuck, your channel is solid content and topics. Thanks for continuing. Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it. You don't get a lot of debate because you've done your homework, and a good portion of your viewers, myself included, like watching someone who's right. You know what? I'm you know, not that I'm opposed to a debate at all, but I'd rather share with like-minded individuals and have more conversations. Then these dark, you know, the arguments are pointless. You can't argue with these people. Like I was saying in my last live stream, there was a left-wing guy. And like I was telling people, if I come across someone like that, if I'm going to engage with a left-winger, I approach it this way. I'm not really arguing with this person. This person is merely my muse, right? To get my message across. I'm going to use his insanity, his lack of reason, all of that kind of shit. I'm going to judo it. I'm going to use it because there are people who are watching and who might watch in the future, who might be on the fence and who are navigating these waters and see that and are like, wow, man. Right? So I use it. I use them, realizing that a lot of these people, you're not going to change their mind. You know, to try to be reasonable with these people, like Thomas Paine said, is to try to give medicine to a dead body. You can't reason with these people. You're not going to reason with a fundamentalist Christian literalist interpreter of the Bible who thinks that the earth is 4,000 years old and you know. There's nothing you're going to say to this person. This person has a life invested to this narrative being true, this mythological narrative. And Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Has the same mindset. Here's my point with this. This fundamentalism isn't located just in religions. It's in ideologies itself. And there are people on the left like Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Who are so invested in their worldview and live in this mythological haze that they can be right even when they're wrong, as I've said in previous videos, right? They can be right even when they're wrong because it's their narrative that takes precedent over any kind of facts or anything, and they won't let any of that stuff get in the way. And that's where we're at today. So the only thing we can do is, you know, try to get the information out there so it's out there for those people that are more reason-based and are looking for the truth in this world of lies that we live in. And that's why I try to do these things. Yeah, man. The left and the right, you got to watch out for the radicals on both sides. Hey, we've gone on about an hour here, so thanks again. Please head over to ChuckGiants.com and pick up my email subscription there and my newsletter. If you want to support me, there's a donation button over there as well. There's links to the stories that I've done and the reports that I do mention, the Baba Vinci and communists. Those are located in the description below that go to my website. One is from the Chicago riot from 2016 campaign. The other one is the RNC convention, and can't remember what the other one is. But hopefully that helps you guys out. Go check out Baba Vinci. Hey, $10. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate that. Appreciate it. Support independent journalism because without journalism, we cannot have a republic. Be safe out there, you guys, and protect your families.